Hello to all of you joining us today. Welcome back to another episode of FinTech Unleashed. My name is Virginia Haber. I'm the Director of Research, Insights, and Advocacy at Engage FI. And today I'm joined by Chris Harlan, President, CEO at University of Illinois Community Credit Union, and Todd Peoples, SVP of Sales and Lending at All In Credit Union. We're going to discuss the exciting possibilities of artificial intelligence in financial services. And in our time together today, we're going to explore how financial institutions are harnessing the power of AI to transform the member experience, streamline operations, and also manage risks. This is the future of banking. So let's dive right in. Chris, I'd like to ask you to start by introducing yourself and, of course, also your credit union.
Hey, Virginia. Yeah, as you said earlier, my name is Chris Harlan, President CEO at University of Illinois Community Credit Union. We are in Illinois, not surprisingly, located just about 2 hours south of Chicago. So a little bit of a rural demographic. We have 62,000 members spread across the country, but primarily located in and around our home office. And we're sitting right now at about $650 million in assets.
Great. Thank you. And Todd?
Hey, Virginia. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm with All In Credit Union. I'm the Senior Vice President of Sales and Lending. So I'm responsible for all of our lending areas, our project management office, and our fintech partnerships. All In is about a $3.3 billion credit union based in Lower Alabama. We have branches throughout Lower Alabama, the Florida Panhandle, and Mississippi. We've got 185,000 members somewhere around there.
So we've got some great geographic representation here on the podcast. There's so much talk about AI these days. So whether it's in the press or at banking conferences, credit union conferences, it seems to be topic number one. Let's start at the basic foundational question. Why is artificial intelligence necessary for financial institutions today? Chris, do you want to start?
Sure, I'll start. I think that as artificial intelligence has evolved, I think I saw a demo maybe just pre-pandemic, so now 5 or 6 years ago, with MasterCard using natural person language AI, and it felt so far away. And the pace and the evolution of this technology has moved downstream so quickly and become so accessible for a lot of us that it's really hard to ignore, because the benefits across many different aspects of our business are really huge, from time efficiency to better service to cost efficiency.
Yes, and Todd, what's your perspective on this?
Yeah, just to piggyback off what Chris said, it's a lot about efficiency. And so how can the credit union better serve our members and make our staff more efficient through all these tools that are coming out, ones that are available today and ones that we don't even know about that are still going to be coming out down the road? It's not about replacing people. It's about helping them be more efficient and how letting them focus more on serving our members in better ways, having more time for those conversations to meet their needs better. And whether it be front office, back office, there's tons of potential gains to be made.
And when you say that, Todd, can you be specific around what types of things you feel your credit union is going to be able to do with AI that you just couldn't do before or you can't do today?
Yeah, you've heard some of the stories of little things like helping with making job descriptions, where you can get ideas to do things like that, to chat online on the contact center side, helping with those things. For us, I know we'll get to a little bit from a credit underwriting perspective, using AI to make faster, better decisions. The interesting part about this, it's almost endless on what AI is going to be able to do. It's going to be up to credit unions to figure out, hey, how does this best meet our needs and making the right decisions around those things.
Mm-hmm. And Chris, is there anything in particular that you're excited about looking into the future, new possibilities for your credit union that just weren't even achievable before?
Certainly around scale. I mean, this is an opportunity to level the playing field. And if financial institutions that are nimble enough to be able to adopt some of these new tools are, I think, going to really start seeing the benefits of scale that much larger competitors have enjoyed for years. So that's the most exciting thing to me is, you know, technology at one point felt like a threat, and now it feels like an opportunity.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I hear so often when I'm on the conference circuit, concern from financial services executives, what's this going to mean? It's going to help us move forward in some ways, but it's going to mean we lose the personal touch with the member. And I actually think it's very different. I think we're in a situation where we've got to scale. We've got to scale the personal touch. We have to go from being able to provide 10% of our members with that personal touch to 90% of the members. That's real scale. And if how else would we achieve it if not through artificial intelligence, particularly generative AI?
Well, good service or experience is personal to the individual. So for me, that could be that at 8 o'clock at night, I had a question and the chat feature answered it for me. I mean, that to me could be a great experience. So we have to know that from the experience of other organizations, companies in different retail areas and others, these are experiences our members are having, and their expectations have changed to the point where now, you know, they expect that from us. And so, you know, if we can bring these tools on board and deliver that, then the maybe the more personal one-to-one interactions we have more time for. We have more of an understanding of what their needs are versus somebody who's looking for more self-serve convenience.
Yeah, sure. The interesting part of this is that there's opportunities for AI to make it more personal, not less personal, even though we're talking about using technology to do that. Because we have our team members answering questions right now or doing tasks that AI could be doing. It's taking them away of having more of those personal conversations with our members, because they're having to do these tasks that are just repetitive and things like that, that AI could do and free up our staff to give more of that personalized service.
Mm-hmm. And the reality too is that the AI tools have more access to the data that creates that personal experience. And that's the really exciting thing, wave of the future of AI, is how can it be predictive in ways that it would be hard for our staff to be able to do, because they only have top line data points available to them, where the AI can look much further back, much more quickly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, one of the things I find so exciting right now about this conversation is if we had had this conversation a year ago, we would have been talking about theory. We would have been talking about possibilities. And now we're talking about probably hundreds of financial institutions already engaged in use cases. They're already doing terrific things, including your own credit union. So I wanted to shift gears and talk about your use cases. What are you doing with artificial intelligence that's really delivering results? And if you could go into some detail on those results, that would be great. Todd, I'll start with you this time.
Yeah, I mean, for us, we've been using a form of AI, machine learning, for over 3 years now as it relates to credit underwriting. We have a partner who's helped us with that. And so for us, on the underwriting side, we've gone from auto-decisioning 10% of our loans to auto-decisioning 75% of our loans now. And so we're giving our members on the indirect side, our dealers, much faster answers. And to Chris's point earlier, the models can look at hundreds of data points, where a credit underwriter is looking at 10, 15 main things that they're going to go through. And the AI can look at a ton more. And so what you're getting is you're getting faster decisions, but you're also getting more accurate decisions in terms of from a risk profile. And so that, again, we've had that in place for a little over 3 years now and have had great results, where we've been able to increase approval percentages, but maintain or reduce risk levels. And so it's not many instances where you can, you know, make more money but spend less doing it from a risk perspective. So it's been highly beneficial to us.
Chris,
and we've done, So we are using natural person language in the call center. So Our bot named Bill answers the phone first ring every time, 24/7, 365. So we think that's a great service. Just to share a data point, out of the first 150,000 calls that Bill received, 35,000 of them were "What's my balance?" And so if you look at the ability to take some of those routine questions out of the calculation, serve them very well in a very streamlined way, you're reserving a lot more time for a much higher percentage of the rest of the calls to come through. So our answer rates are well up over 90% now. Average wait time for us to answer the phone is less than a minute. We've improved pretty much every metric across the board, including holding staff size. So we're taking more calls with the same amount of people, and we believe a greater effectiveness.
And those are huge.
Those are like, yeah,
they're awesome.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I was going to add, like, those are, say, like, big examples, but there's smaller examples, too. Or we've used AI to create presentations and do some research for information we provide to the board, and all these things that are just time savers that may not seem big, but when you add these all up to using it multiple times, there's benefits there.
Oh, huge. And if you look at how fundamentals are shifting with so much pressure on revenue, interchange income under threat, fee income under threat, you've got the threat from the fintech banks, they're capturing market share. It's AI delivers a tremendous amount of efficiency that can then be converted into innovation. And we need that really desperately in our industry right now. There's no doubt about it. So let me ask you, you've shared some results. Have you had any feedback from your members? What are they telling you about this? If anything, or is it invisible?
It's less visible than I expected it to be, to be quite honest. I thought when we made this change that it would be a really hard adaptation for our membership to take on. There's a very small, I'll say, vocal minority that maybe grumble a little bit to get through to a live agent. It's much, much, much better received, more well received than I expected it to be. And the feedback from our staff is excellent. I mean, we're putting a lot into maintaining the workflows, trying to increase accuracy, trying to build new workflows, and working collaboratively with our staff on that. And it's a tool they're engaged with, and I think it's a tool our members are getting a lot of value out of.
Yeah, our response has been very positive. And from the credit underwriting models, the AI models we put in place, I mean, for staff, it's freed up their time now to not have to go through a branch manager, try to decision alone. The model's doing a lot of that. And so they're going to spend more time with the members on better meeting their needs, having those conversations to find out, hey, can we make more money? Can we save them more money? And then I'll tell you, one of my big concerns when those models in place initially was on our indirect side. Like, how are the dealers going to respond to this? And it was oddly quiet. If you've done indirect, you work with a dealer. You know, anytime those guys are quiet, you're in a good spot. But all of them were very receptive to the response and the fact that we're making decisions quicker. And they're getting some loans approved that they would not have before because the model's using so much data to do that. So with approval percentages up, it's from the dealer side, they've been really happy also.
So I can see that you're both pretty excited about the results you've gotten from these AI projects. You must be thinking about what's next. Can you talk about what's in the pipeline? Chris, you want to go first?
We're in implementation now with a credit decisioning model. So hope to have that live later this summer. And then also we have another tool that we use for credit side that is a loan origination system, approval, decision, and funding, and then really you sort of end the experience with digital issuance in digital banking. So, you know, the experience from end to end is really available now. And that's very exciting, not just taking necessarily parts and pieces and plugging them into what you already have, which we're all very used to doing, The other thing I'll touch on is that the fraud recognition tools available now are far greater than what we can see with the human eye. And those, to me, are some of the most exciting things that AI can bring, is taking, you know, thousands of data points to be able to recognize what a fraudulent application looks like. And we've already seen some really good examples of where it's been able to stem the tide of fraud, which is something that we're all very concerned about.
Todd?
Yeah, to piggyback on that, we're looking into the fraud aspects also, because I think there's a huge benefit there, especially as the bad guys keep getting more and more creative. So using AI to better keep up with that, we seem like we're always responsive on the fraud side. AI can be much faster at putting measures in place to counteract those. I'd also say we're looking at data reporting tools that can help us better identify what's the next best product for our members, and more personalization around that. So as opposed to saying, hey, we think these 10,000 people need this, like, let's say, hey, Chris, no, you specifically, this is for you. And Virginia, this is specifically for you, and targeting that more down to the individual level, which most folks nowadays, they want more personalization. So being able to use AI to do that versus having a full team of data scientists or on the marketing side or business analysts or whatever it may be, using AI to help with those scenarios.
Well, and you're talking about resources, right? You know, having the right talent in place. One of the big risks that I see in our industry moving into the AI era is that there are only so many people, right now at least, that have the talent to make these projects happen. So one of the risks that I see is just not doing anything or quickly enough, right? Just waiting too long. And so to that end, you know, I hear what you're telling us about AI. I see credit unions as early movers in artificial intelligence. What is it that you do you think that makes the credit unions move more quickly into this era, beyond obviously just a longstanding propensity to adopt technology much earlier than small banks?
Yeah, I think part of it is one of the challenges we have ends up being one of the strengths, from the standpoint of your Chases and B of A's have lots of money and teams trying to develop all of this. And on the credit union side, we don't have those teams. And so we look to partners to help us with that. And so you have all these partnerships, these fintechs out there that are creating solutions. And then it's just a matter of us as a credit union to figure out, okay, who's the best partner in the short term and long term, who's going to stay agile, who's going to bring us the solutions to best meet our member needs, and then partnering with those to be able to do that. Which I think in a lot of cases makes us faster to market than the big banks who are spending all these internal time and resources to do these things. And so it's just a matter for us, so are you open to it, and then finding the right partner to do it.
Yep.
I agree. I think that it's cultural, in that, you know, there's a risk appetite that credit unions have taken a position of trying to innovate and reinvest. It's been a number of years now since I've been in the banking world, so I may be out of touch with what's going on there. But just looking at our competition locally, regionally, I do feel like we've built those channels to partner. And I feel like our partners have really created an ecosystem that's available to us and we're used to engaging with. And we've built this level of trust that that we're willing to take some of these things on, despite the obvious risks.
Yeah, and just to add on to that, to what Chris is saying, I think the cool part too is the fintech industry has realized the credit union space is a good space to be in. And since credit unions are so collaborative, if you have a good solution and it works really well, credit unions will tell other credit unions. And so it spreads a lot faster. And so I think fintechs are realizing, man, this credit union thing is pretty good. Let me get a good solution. Let me get in with those guys, and then they'll tell everybody else, and my business will grow.
Yeah, that explains the flurry of press releases we're seeing coming out of the fintech world, right? Definitely. We did touch on risk, and I want to dive a little bit deeper, because that's certainly part of this conversation. A lot of financial institutions worried about some of the risks of implementing AI. Do you think that those are risks we can rather easily solve for? Are we overblowing some of the concerns around AI risk?
I wouldn't say easily solved for. I mean, data security, data privacy is a number one concern. And I know that with our CIO, that we keep bringing different things, and everything needs to be secured within our environment. So even tools like ChatGPT can pose risk that your organization has to be aware of and managing and working toward making sure that all of your employees are working within a secure environment. We look at it as a top line risk that, we don't want to have a moment where we go to our membership and say, subset of your data was compromised because, we were running models in OpenAI. So, we're taking those risks very seriously and trying to be very diligent about getting out in front of those and looking at best practices in ways to do that.
Yes. And the reason I asked this before I go to you, Todd, the reason I asked this is that you both have AI projects underway that are member facing, right?
Right.
And a lot of financial institutions that I talk to, they're very cautious keeping the AI projects behind the scenes in the back office away from the customer or the member until they really, get the training wheels off, if you will. So to that end, Todd, I'd love your perspective on how you manage the concerns that you have around these new risks that AI poses.
Yeah, and part of it's going to be the solution itself, the interaction with member data or non-member data, and those kind of things. I mean, going back to when we put our credit underwriting decision models in place, I mean, we had it ready, and we ran it in parallel for about 6 months, kind of behind, in a test environment to see how this thing was going to perform. And then we rolled it to live. And so you have those options like to get you more comfortable. And then the good old adage of walk, crawl, run from there. I said that backwards, but you know what I meant. it's just starting small and getting bigger from there and not jumping fully into this because of the risk that Chris talked about and some of the unknown there. I mean, we're still in an environment where the government is still trying to figure this out, and like what regulations are going to come along with these items also. We don't know yet. So there's a right balance there. And credit unions historically done a pretty good job of measuring that risk in terms of moving forward, but not jumping fully into it just to make sure it flushes out well.
Mm-hmm. And Chris, have you made any changes to your IT governance models to account for artificial intelligence? Can you just speak to some of the changed policies and procedures you've taken your credit union through?
Yeah, it's feeling more like a working document these days than it has in the past in terms of changes that are happening on an ongoing basis. I would say at least quarterly, we have different policies and procedures that we're updating through that and talking to our board about and managing internally as a leadership team. Specifically, though, we have used specific tools to make sure that everything that we're doing that's AI related is within a contained environment. We're working with our IT auditors to make sure that those meet the best practice standards of governance, because that's been what we've decided is the greatest risk point. The other is, and this is not new to any of us, is vendor management when it comes to their ability to protect our member data. And so I would say, looking at third parties and then, their partnerships even becomes a really daunting task, but it is something that we're spending a lot more time focusing on because so many new companies are emerging right now with great technologies. We have to make sure that they're not putting the cart before the horse in the work that they're doing from a security standpoint.
And Todd, what changes have you made?
Yeah, I mean, our IT security team has put out, for lack of a better term, guidelines around for the staff around here's what you can and cannot do as it relates to this. They are finalizing a policy around AI, which to Chris's point, it's going to have to be updated pretty often as it relates to this, but trying to give the staff some guardrails because a lot of them are using AI, ChatGPT on a personal level. And so they may be like, oh, I want to use this at work. In some cases, that's fine. In some cases, you can't put personal member information in there. And so you got to have some guardrails kind of around that. Or here's when you can use it, here's when you can't. So a lot of it's around staff education.
Mm-hmm. Training, education, no doubt. I mean, we have some of these policies in place already, but now it's augmentation time to just make certain that nothing falls through the cracks. Let me ask you a final question. I think we would probably agree we're all enthusiastic about the prospects for artificial intelligence in credit unions, but what's truly at stake for a credit union contemplating utilizing this modern technology to drive growth? What's at stake if they don't do it? Chris?
Everything. I mean, we're seeing the industry consolidate as quickly as it ever has. And those that are choosing to do that are either finding business model challenges or challenges with scale. And I feel like this is an opportunity to solve for those if done correctly. And at the very least, as we innovate as an industry, which side of that do you want to be on? Because, we're now seeing what over 75% of all banking transactions are done via mobile. So this is all moving in the same direction, and we would like to be moving along with it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this is AI is the next ATM to the internet to mobile to now AI, the next kind of big changer in the financial services space. And you've got to just balance this risk we've talked about in terms of you can't sit on the sidelines and miss out on this. At the same token, I don't know that you can also run full into this because of the risk that we've talked about. And so there's a balance there. But sitting and doing nothing is not the right answer. Even if you don't have solutions in place right now, you've got to at least be looking into them and how it fits your business at your credit union. But you can't just kind of say, I'll wait and do nothing and see what happens because it'll be too late then.
You know, when I'm asked what's the greatest risk associated with artificial intelligence, my answer is always doing nothing. That's the biggest risk, doing nothing. Yeah. You know, you think about a world where a member contacts a contact center, whether through a phone call or, through a simple message in, and there's a complex issue. Those are the types of calls that we're getting nowadays. And when they get transferred, they don't have to repeat their complex issue. It's been summarized by generative AI, passed along to that next person. You know, as somebody in the contact center can very quickly, draw from policies and procedures that might be about this thick, and they get that nugget of information to pass on to the member. Member's happy. Contact center agent is happy. Higher satisfaction on both sides. There's just so much that we can do with artificial intelligence that we could never do before. And it's frankly inconceivable that we can satisfy young people, Generation Z, without the kind of personalization capabilities that artificial intelligence gives us. Agree? Disagree?
Well said, and I would say a great example of the low-hanging fruit opportunities that are out there.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Well, I just wanted to close by sharing with our audience some of the things that they can really be doing next. And obviously, Chris and Todd, I'd love your thoughts on this. I think it's really important to look at current technology projects and see where AI can be embedded into those current technology projects. If there's a digital banking project underway, look at where AI can add value. That's one. Then, of course, elevate artificial intelligence internally. Make certain that from the top down, bottom up, your folks really understand why AI is so important. Build the talent where it is needed. And, of course, get to know those financial services specific vendors. There are so many new vendors that are out there in the marketplace that are focused on artificial intelligence. It is financial services specific, which makes it a lot easier to take advantage of this technology. Of course, get your teams on board. There are plenty of of folks in our industry that are still, you know, hesitant about whether or not artificial intelligence is going to replace them. You know, I think our perspective, I've heard this from both of you, is that artificial intelligence is going to make our jobs a lot more fun. It's going to be a lot easier to service the members. And that means we have more time to focus on value-added tasks. Another point that I'd like to make is that it's important to make your IT evaluations AI ready. You know, the old world where we looked at feature functionality, that's important, but it's not enough. We need to be looking at agility, flexibility in the architecture, how data moves and how it's, of course, analyzed and move to people that need to make a decision. And then, of course, you know, verify the vendor bench of AI experts. I mean, both of you have been talking to vendors, working with vendors successfully. It's always good to know that behind the talk, there are actual human beings that are working on the strategy, on the technology to make this real. So any thoughts on those final comments from me, Chris and Todd?
I think it's a great summary of what's out there. And the way I would say to start is to start small, but with something you're really excited about. You mentioned data in your points. We always talk about use cases for data. You know, we know so much about our membership because of all the card data and other things that we have, but we don't have the time to go through and mine for it. And that's the most exciting future of AI is that it does.
Yep. Virginia, I think you summed up really well. I'd also add there's potential here too for credit unions. In a lot of cases, your younger employees are going to be more up on AI than maybe some of your more seasoned employees. And so it's an opportunity to bring in some of those team members to get their thoughts on, hey, how are they using it today? What are their thoughts on how we could use it tomorrow? And getting feedback from them.
I love awesome. That. Let's close on that thought. The largest generation, they have a voice. So thank you. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Todd, for joining us. There's nothing, I think, more informative than real-world implementation of new technology that's delivering results. So thank you for sharing that with us today. And thank you for listening to today's episode. Everybody that's out there listening in, we are just so delighted that you're joining us. To stay informed on when we're dropping the next episode, follow Engage FI on LinkedIn. I look forward to seeing you on the next episode of FinTech Unleashed. And on behalf of Chris and Todd and everyone at Engage FI, have a great day, everyone.